Hello and welcome to the next episode of the Farcom Podcast. I want to thank you for listening each and every episode. As always, you can reach me on Twitter at Farcom Podcast or email FarcomPodcast@yahoo.com. Big news of the day, of course, with Demons Athletics is what's going to happen with the basketball program now that Coach Corey Gibson has left after a year. And of course, players entering the transfer portal. We'll get to that in a second. But I think with Coach Corey Gibson, the jarring thing for Demon fans is that we're kind of spoiled in a way that we've had coaches stay for very long terms. When you look at coaches throughout the program, you've had Leon Johnson with track. Of course, current coach Mike Heimerman with track, who's been here for over two decades. You got coach Mike McConathy, basketball, who was here for a long time. James Smith with women's basketball. Donald Pickett's been here for a while with softball. And if you look at that, it really does put Northwestern as the exception than the rule. We're not used to flipping through coaches very often. So when it does happen, I think it is kind of jarring for Demon fans. Now, Coach Corey Gibson, you'd like to have him stay over a year, and what he accomplished in that 1 year was amazing. But the fact that he's leaving to go to his alma mater, I can't blame him one bit. I can't begrudge him one bit for doing that. If you have a chance to go back home, I think you should always take it. You know, it's a place, anytime you go to your alma mater, something that just feels special to you. And speaking personally, I know anytime I get to do anything with Northwestern, it always feels pretty special for me, even though my last year competing with Northwestern was in 2004. My last year having anything official to do with Northwestern was in 2005, and I did a little coaching in 2009 with Northwestern. But it is pretty cool to see someone go home, so you know, best of luck to Coach Corey Gibson on that one. Now the Demons, of course, we do see the transfer portal come in to play as well, as Jalen Hampton, Hansel Manuel, and DeMarcus Sharp are all entering the portal. The portal giveth, the portal taketh away. Nothing to be concerned about. That's just the nature of the beast right now. You can like the portal or dislike it. I'm kind of torn on it. I understand the reasoning behind it. At the same time, it is tough for mid-majors, is that you'll see a lot of mid-majors going forward, and you're seeing it now where you're losing a lot of players every single year. I would like to see some restrictions on it, not necessarily player-wise, but maybe, say, programs can only sign X amount of portal players in a four-year span, which I think would cut down on it a little bit, but again, there's people to make a whole lot more money than me that are making those decisions, so I'm sure something will come of it, but right now it is kind of the Wild West. And for Northwestern, I think the concern being Coach Corey Gibson leaving after a year, will that hurt us long-term as a program? And I don't think it will. I think if it becomes something that happens very often and it becomes something usual, then it will hurt the program. But if you have one coach leave after a year, but our next hire stays for 4 or 5 years, I think we should be fine. And of course, our next hire, I'd like to stay for a lot longer than that, but I think it only becomes problematic if this starts happening over and over again. But if you can bring in another coach, stay 4 or 5 years, build up a culture, pass on that torch to someone else to continue that, I think you're going to be fine, and I don't think it'll really hurt Northwestern. Again, I think it was just an unlucky situation with Austin Peay having a job opening, and I think without that, I really do believe Coach Corey Gibson would have stayed at Northwestern for another year at least, but it happens. Going forward, the Demons, it'll be interesting to see who you will hire as new coach. The rumor I'm hearing so far is that announcement may be made as soon as tomorrow, which will be March 21st, but we'll see when that happens. For Northwestern, I think there is the interesting dynamic in that you don't want to wait too long to hire a coach, because then all these players entering the portal you're missing out on. At the same time, you don't want to rush into things and hire a coach that maybe won't be the right fit for the university. So it's a really delicate balance here. And, you know, we've made good hires before. I think Kevin Boschman, you know, he's shown as athletic director, they've made the right calls on hires and on coaches. So I trust in the athletic department right now to make another good hire. And it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward. Now with the Southland Conference, something really interesting is, of course, Steve Les leaving Texas A&M Corpus Christi. You know, they were a tremendous team this year. They shown it, beat us 3 times in a row. Hats off to them, and had a really good tournament performance. They ran into an absolute buzzsaw at Alabama. And we saw an Alabama in our second round win. That's just a really good team. So, you know, nothing against A&M Corpus Christi on that loss. They did have an opening round win, which we had a while back, and that's a fun spot to be in, to have the opening round win. So, you know, credit to Corpus on that one. And now they're in the same boat we are, as their coach is leaving. I'm sure the transfer portal will hit them. Supposedly they want to hire internally one of the assistants. No official word on that, so I won't speculate too much on that. But it is what it is, and it is changing in the environment. Of course, on the other side of things, you have Coach Mark Schlesinger. UNO was granted an extra year. They decided to let him stay on. That is good to see. I've always been a fan of Coach Schless. He hasn't had the best success in the last two or three seasons, but I do believe he's a good coach, so I'd like to see him improve and hopefully get the program back, and so he can stay long term. As I know, personally knowing him, I know that the city of New Orleans and the school of UNO does mean a lot to him, and I know he's really embraced that culture and the city of New Orleans. And of course, last but not least, McNeese hiring Coach Will Wade's controversial hire by some. Won't speculate more into that. I think for McNeese, it isn't a bad hire. It's a gamble, but it's one I think that is a risk, you know, worthwhile risk. And for McNeese, you know, if you look at their arena, they've got one of the best venues, not only in the Southland Conference, but it's in this entire region. It really is a fantastic venue. We saw it during the Southland Tournament. It's something they can definitely build upon. And for McNeese, I do believe they're going all in on this. I think their thought being is they've made it no secret they want to move on from the Southland. They want to move into a Sun Belt or Conference USA. And this is purely speculation on my point, but I do believe they're bringing in Coach Will Wade with the thought being if he can have success and they can reach four or five tournaments under him, they can build a program under him, they may be more attractive from a basketball standpoint to land a spot in Conference USA or the Sun Belt. So it is a worthwhile risk, and that's just fan rumor and fan chatter that I've listened to and some various connections I have with some McNeese fans who, again, nothing against them. And you know, will wait work out. He's been successful everywhere he's been. So McNeese, I think, definitely is a contender already next year in the Southland Conference. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. They've already hit the portal pretty well. But anyway, going forward from this, though, it'll be really interesting to see how Northwestern goes. I don't think McNeese under Will Wade will be some unbeatable behemoth. I'm not too concerned with it. I know one thing that someone mentioned to me is that we have to be a little nervous with Will Wade coming in, and I'm really not. And that's not a disrespect to Coach Will Wade or McNeese. You know, he obviously is a good coach, but when you look at Danny Casper with Stephen F. Austin, you look at Brad Underwood of Stephen F. Austin, Lutz at Corpus Christi, even going further back to Lamar. You know, it's we've had great coaches in the Southland Conference, so this is nothing new. And for my money, nothing will ever beat the Brad Underwood, Stephen F. Austin teams. Those teams were talented, well-coached, so it isn't like we haven't faced talented, well-coached teams before. I look forward to the challenge, and you know, hopefully if it can boost the stature of the conference and bring some extra fans into the seats when they play at Prather, and of course when we play in McNeese, then you know, that's a win-win for everybody. I look forward to it, and you can't shy away from good competition. And you look at the NCAA tournament where Fairleigh Dickinson won their first round game over number one Purdue. You look at Princeton being in the Sweet 16. You have to be willing to play those great teams to make those moments. So, hey, look, if Will Wade brings together a good team, that's only a win-win for everybody. I'm going to take a quick break and then come right back and talk about baseball and softball. Going to start off talking about NSU softball. And NSU softball over the weekend going 2-for-2, dropping 2 to Indiana, but beating Memphis for 2 games. As always, I think the pitching, which kind of hurt us in that series last weekend against Lamar and midweek against Louisiana Tech, our pitching, while talented, just hasn't put it all together this year. And I do think we are going to come around, but right now it's just one of those things where pitching just seems to be kind of in a little bit of a funk. Offensively, though, we have done really well, so I'd like to focus on that. Not too concerned with the pitching. There's enough experience and talent there that I think you're going to see them come around, come conference play in the meat of the conference schedule. But offensively, they have been really rolling. And one person I'd like to spotlight that I think is really going to make a difference come conference play is junior second baseman Taylor Williams. Only batting .230, but she has looked really good as of late. In this past weekend, she went 2-4 against Indiana, 1-4 against Memphis in the first game, and then 2-5 against Memphis in the second game. Had 2 RBIs, 3 runs scored. Again, only batting .230, but when you look at the way she's playing, look at the fact she's getting on base, getting the ball on the plate, I think she's going to be a really big person going forward for the Demon Squad. And just one of those players, when you look at the team overall, you always say who's going to be that person that's going to step up and who's going to be that person that'll come in key situations. And I think you're going to see that. And if you look at the Demon team, you know, you look at Mackenzie Chaffin, Cad Marshall, Laney Roos, Keely Dubois, they're all given those numbers you want. But when you add in a player like a Taylor Williams that could come in behind those, it makes the opposing team have to work a little harder, because you can't put those players on base thinking, all right, well, here's Taylor Williams, this is an easy out, when you know she can bat people around and get people in. So I think that just makes it much tougher for teams to strategize against us, and I think it's going to lend well for the Demons going forward. You know, pitching wise though, you look at it, Bronte Roden has been very solid going forward. Maggie Dorr, I think, has done really well this year, as long as Kenzie Seal and Raleigh Denton. I'd just like to see a little more consistency going forward from them, and I think it'll happen. I think sometimes just in softball and baseball, it's not that you're pitching bad, it's just you're hitting teams on a hot streak. I think that's happened. We'll start off in Thibodaux, the meet of conference play, going up against Nichols. Nichols is always a tough team to play out in Thibodaux. They have the, you know, Bayou Voodoo going on, but I think it'll be a big test for our team, and I think we should do well in that one. I like us to take at least 2 or 3 in that one, if not a sweep. I think it's a chance for us to make some waves. Like to see the pitching come together, have some solid outings. You want to get at least, you know, complete game in there somewhere, get the other pitchers going 4 or 5. And what I'd like to really see is Bronte Roden get a complete game, Maggie Dorr hopefully can get a complete game, and then Celie and Raleigh Denton give you at least, you know, 3 or 4 good innings. And I think if that happens with our offense going forward in conference play, it'll do really well. But I'm not worried about the Lady Demons softball team. They're going to do well. Of course, Coach Pickett's been here a while. He'll have them rolling. On to baseball. Baseball taking 2 of 3 over Arkansas Little Rock. Pretty awesome showing by the baseball team. Of course, we had the sweep over Valley, which you would have liked. Win 2 midweek games over Yale Monroe, then won the first 2 over Arkansas Little Rock. So Demon baseball looks to be hitting their stride. And big thing I like was the pitching in this one, starting off in game 1 with Cal Carver in a 9-4 win. He did a great job starting off. 5 innings pitched, only gave up 1 earned run, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts, which is pretty awesome to see. From the offensive standpoint, if you look on that one, Jeffrey Elkins, he was great, 4-for-5 in that one with 3 RBIs and a base on balls. That's pretty awesome. Scored 2 runs himself. Michael Datolo, 2-for-4, was really great in that one. Then in the second game, 4 of the Demons pitching wise was amazing. A complete had a shutout, a combined shutout here. Alex Makerich with 4 innings, only gave up 4 hits, 4 base on balls, but struck out 8. Chase Press, which you got the win, tremendous for him. 2 innings, did not give up a hit, only 1 base on ball, struck out 6. You can't do much better than that. That's amazing. And Dawson Flowers, Tyler Bryan came in to finish it off. Pretty awesome to see on that one. Of course, they drop the nightcap, or the third game, I should say, to Little Rock, 6-8. Tried to make a comeback on that one, just wasn't able to, scoring 3 runs in a ninth. Up in that one, the loser in that one is Drayton Brown, who drops to 1-3 on the day. He pitched 5 innings, gave up 8 hits, 8 runs, all earned, with 7 strikeouts. He was doing pretty well up until that third inning. Then it kind of fell apart and really struggled going on into that fifth. But I do think Drayton Brown is a good pitcher, just kind of lost control there in the fifth inning. I think he'll be okay. Kyle Froelich came in, I thought did a good job. Added Andrew Cazio and Grayson Gates. So we were able to recover from that. Just unfortunately couldn't overcome the hitting on that one. But for the Demons going forward, I do like what we're seeing. Of course, Jeffrey Elkins batting 367. Michael Dettolo batting 400. Dante Stewart at 328. So that's good to see. Is there's a couple years we've seen the Demon team not have anyone batting over 300. So to see that happening, that'll do well. If there is a concern, is the fact that our back of our lineup is batting below the Mendoza line. We'd like to see that improve, but if we can keep manufacturing runs the way we have, I think we'll be okay. From a pitching standpoint, you know, Cal Carver is a 0.59 ERA, Chase Preswich 1.80, Alex Makerich has a 2.77, so that's really good to see. Another person I like, and he's only pitched one inning, but Grayson Gates came in. He looked good. Kyle Froelich. So you're seeing really good pitching wise. And when you have a total team ERA of 3.55 in college baseball, I think it's going to lend well to you going forward. And I think for the Demons, if you look at them going into conference play, I think it's going to lend really well to some success. Demons will be taking on LSU Alexandria at home. That'll be on Tuesday at 6 p.m. So tough team in LSUA, even though they are a lower division team, they'll be good. And then a game I'm really interested in, and a weekend series I'm interested in, we'll take on four games against the Oregon Ducks, who have been a perennial regional team. They are very, very good baseball squad coming in this year. They're 11-7. But they've played a really tough schedule. If you look at their lineup, most of their losses came, they lost to UCLA, which is 13th ranked. UCLA, they have two or three over Washington State, have sweep wins over San Diego. Their one bad loss, they have a three-game sweep loss to UC Santa Barbara. That's a talented squad as well, so I'm really interested to see how we react going into Oregon. I do thank you listening to this episode. I hope you have enjoyed it. I did enjoy making it. Look forward to the coaching search. If there is any news coming up, I would definitely have that on the next episode. Has been fun watching March Madness. Hopefully you have enjoyed it. It's been very entertaining to see that happening. Best of luck to the LSU Lady Tigers as they advance to the Sweet 16. You know, credit also will have to be given to UL Lafayette. I thought they played really well against the Tennessee Volunteers in their opening round game, gave them all they could handle. And also the Corpus Christi, again, they just ran into a buzzsaw in Alabama. So hope you enjoy this. Best of luck to both Demons and Lady Demons going forward. It's going to be really interesting to watch. Do thank you for listening. Hope you have a great day. Stay safe, and as always, Fork 'em Demons.